This is My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Stormy Bonantoni with you for the next hour, live from Circa Sportsbook in Las Vegas. It's a good day to have a good day. Yesterday was a pretty good day, too, in the NFL. Rodgers takes down Stafford. Patriots winners a sixth straight undefeated in November. Look out, AFC. Bucks stop the red-hot Colts in Indy. Struggles on the road? Not so much. Road teams this year. Best win percentage since 1983, and it was the same again in Week 12. Lamar Jackson, four picks, but a win? We'll get into those games and plenty more throughout the program with some help from my friends, Michael Lombardi, host of the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, former NFL executive. Mondays with Michael roll on here as they do every week. Jimmy and Vinny will talk a little bit of college football championship week, Monday night football, Seattle getting given a point rather in Washington later on tonight, total 47. See where the money is going in that game and where you can get some of it yourself on the prop menu. Brad Evans, EP of gaming at Valley Sports, is going to join us and talk all about some of the best prop betting opportunities, and get your fire extinguishers ready because Brad always brings the heat, and we're going to bring some heat too with our top five stories as we dive right in. Number one, the Dallas Cowboys dealing with some COVID-19 issues, reportedly 8 COVID positives going on in the organization, including their head coach Mike McCarthy, who will not be out there on the field to coach come Thursday night. A less than ideal situation, already coming off back-to-back losses for the boys. Dallas was already without wide receiver Amari Cooper due to the virus, who, by the way, is poised to return this week. McCarthy said DC Dan Quinn, who most recently, of course, former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons himself, will take over head coaching duties in his absence Thursday. He'll move down from the booth to the field. Cowboys still 4.5-point road favorites in New Orleans. Carolina cannot catch a break when it comes to the health of their star multi-purpose back, Christian McCaffrey, who's going on the IR and now is set to miss the rest of the season. CMC, now it's an ankle injury sustained in the first half of Sunday's loss to the Dolphins, but he just returned a couple weeks ago from a hamstring that sidelined him for a significant chunk of the season. Also missed all but 3 games in 2020 with an ankle sprain in week 2. Then a shoulder injury in his return game week 9 that kept him out the rest of the year. Panthers have declined to describe the injury in any more detail, but Carolina, as you just saw on the screen, has a bye week this week, and then coming up on the schedule, Atlanta, Buffalo, Tampa Bay twice, and New Orleans still remaining. Number 3 in our top stories, Vikings Dalvin Cook, another star running back, dealing with some injury issues. Got a torn labrum in his shoulder after dislocating it this past Sunday against San Francisco. Cook already has a torn labrum in his other shoulder. And while the injury is not considered to be season-ending, he is expected to miss some time. Good to note, Cook missed the final 2 games of the 2019 season with a similar injury, but returned for the playoffs. Ended up rushing for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Saints in his return. Alexander Mattison will be the borderline RB1 in his absence. And a week 13 date with the Lions should make it a little bit easier on the squad. Minnesota without Cook, as we look at the number here, 7-point road favorites in Detroit. Number 4 in our top stories, Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said he would not bench Baker Mayfield after the loss in week 12 to the Ravens for Case Keenum. What an ugly game that was, by the way, last night. Hope you didn't stay up too late. Mayfield wasn't awful against the Ravens, throwing 247 yards and a touchdown, but another offensive struggle in general for the squad. Since week 10, he's completed just 50% of his passes, 496 yards. That's 5.7 yards per attempt. 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. Pro Football Focus grades Baker out as the 26th best quarterback this season. Things will get a little bit more challenging for banged up Baker this week as well, because ESPN's Adam Schefter reported this afternoon that their right tackle, Jack Conklin, suffered a torn patella tendon. He's going to miss the remainder of the 2021 season. Browns on a bye this week, coming at a good time to get a little bit of health on their side after dropping 2 of their last 3 games, 5 of their last 8. Things not looking so hot in Cleveland. Last one here, ask for Monday Night Football and you shall receive. We already told you about it. Seattle, Washington going at it in prime time tonight. Monday Night Football, Seattle laying a point on the road, point and a half as it sits right now. Total around 47, 47 and a half. And as far as the health of both teams go, Washington without starting right tackle Sam Cosmi, been ruled out with a hip injury. And while two of their top receivers, Adam Humphries and Curtis Samuel, are both questionable after being limited at practice on Saturday, Ron Rivera confirmed to reporters at least that Samuel, who's played just 30 snaps for the Burgundy and Gold this season, is, quote, good to go, is likely, though, to note. It's probably on a pitch count. Meanwhile, Antonio Gibson, John Bache, J.D. McKissick, Brandon Scherff, Cole Holcomb, and Chaka Tony were all removed from the injury report. It's expected that Logan Thomas will play for the first time since week four as well. And on Seattle's front, the Seahawks have ruled out five players, including starting guard Damian Lewis, as well as the versatile reserve lineman Jamarco Jones. They'll also be without running backs Rashad Penny and Travis Homer, leaving Seattle with just two healthy backs on the 53, Alex Collins and DJ Dallas. Cornerback DJ Reed, who missed last week's game with a knee injury, does not have a game status designation. Meanwhile, he should be a go. So can Seattle cling a little bit longer to their fading playoff hopes? An unfamiliar situation there with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. We shall see. Or will the Washington football team make it three straight? Ron Rivera and Taylor Heineke have been a pretty good pair there with the head coach and quarterback duo. We will talk a lot about this game throughout the course of the show. But what I want to do now is take a little look at examining some of the teams that stocks have been rising and falling throughout the NFL. So taking stock, a couple of teams I think that have got significant improvement. Like if you got a buy low spot on the Bengals or the Patriots, you're feeling pretty good right now. Let's start with the Bengals, because we thought coming into the season, or at least I thought, I'm not going to speak for you, but this was a team that could be, you know, that could be a couple years away from contention. And they ended up having a really hot start to the season, struggled midseason, and now they're back. I mean, that was a dismantling of Pittsburgh. 41-10 has them in the number five seed in the AFC, but just one game back of the top spot. What? How's that work? But one and covered in four of their last six games. And aside from that uncharacteristic loss to Cleveland, which was ugly and granted not aging particularly well, all three of Cincinnati's other losses have been by just a field goal. Preseason, their win total was 6.5, up to 9.5 now. Their Super Bowl odds from 100-1 preseason to 28-1, and to win the AFC, just 12-1 now. You can see just the significant movement that the Bengals have had. Also, the New England Patriots, and this has been a fun ride to watch, especially because of everything that happened last season. I think a lot of people counted the Patriots out, even though still to start the season, their win total was 9. It's up to 11.5 now because of how well they have played down the stretch. Winners of 6 straight. Like I said off the top of the show, undefeated in November. They've also been perfect against the spread in that span, covering once as a dog, 3 times as 7-point or larger favorites. And that's after starting the season 2-4 straight up in ATS. So, yes, it's the Pats. Maybe we shouldn't be that surprised. But like I said, after that dismal 2020 season and bringing in a rookie quarterback, who thought that they would be this? They look like the team to beat in the AFC right now to me, especially after the Ravens' uninspired win against Cleveland last night. Lamar Jackson, 4 picks, but the Patriots have continued to, I liked on that graphic how it's like a stock with the arrow going up, because they have been going up, up, and up, and it's been really fun to watch. Other teams on the rise that we're not going to get into in detail right now, but that are soaring as well, Packers, Bucks, 49ers. I guess I'll hold off on KC just because they had a bye this past week, but teams to keep an eye on as getting better. And you know, I like to say that about the 49ers, even though we did have a funeral for them not too long ago. As far as our failing teams go, the two I'm going to dive into are the Vikings and the Eagles. Minnesota fell to 5-6, just an embarrassing loss to my 49ers, which featured Cousins lining up under the guard in a critical moment in the game late, forced Minnesota to take a timeout they couldn't spare. They're still the number 7 seed, but methinks that may not last. Their preseason and current win totals are still both the same there at 8.5. But their Super Bowl odds were 33-1 to start the year, down to 60-1 to win the NFC, significantly down to win their division, plus 250 to start the year. High expectations for Minnesota, 14-1 now. And for as many close games as they have had, they've only been able to get over the hump a handful of times. Let's move on here to the Philadelphia Eagles, 5-7. Had some unexpected wins here late, which I think has overvalued them a good bit in the market. We're going to see that in their number this week as well. But the honeymoon from the big win against the Saints 2 weeks ago could not and isn't going to last. Philly looked awful on Sunday against the Giants. I don't think anybody's going to debate that. They sit squarely in the probably going to go home in January pile of NFC teams for me. They face another really bad team this week in the New York Jets, who actually, they just got a win, albeit against Houston. But the Eagles are favored on the road by a pretty big number again, and I'm not biting. 6.5 right now. Yeah, not a fan. But they have gotten better in general than I think I expected this season. Jalen Hurts has shown signs of being an excellent running back. Fun to watch at times, but just not for me. Personally, other teams that are falling that we'll talk about more throughout the course of the show. The LA Rams, 3 straight losses. Matt Stafford, 4 pick sixes in the last 3 games. Not a good sign. Carolina Panthers without CMC and Cam Newton not living up to the billing in his real full game, knowing the playbook, didn't look good. LA Chargers, another team I'm looking at as potentially trending in the wrong direction. But what is trending in the right direction? Cyber Monday, and it's finally here. And we have a great offer for you right now. When you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, other great gear. This is a limited offer, so head to VSiN.com/subscribe. On the other side of the break, wildest moments from college football this weekend. And we're joined by Jimmy and Vinny at the South Pole.
You're listening to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to My Guys in the Desert. This segment brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with either. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties now, like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths. You can easily find the satisfaction level that's right for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations. Nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Stormy Bonantoni with you. And as we do every week on the program about this time, time for our wildest college football moments, starting with the moment Lincoln Riley told reporters on Saturday after Oklahoma's loss in Bedlam to Oklahoma State that he would not be the head coach at LSU. Let's roll that sound. It's interesting.
I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, it's every day.
Hold up, Gary. I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU.
And the lie detector test has determined that is not a lie because he's going to USC. And it's just tremendous. I know we're talking college football here, but what a home run out of the park, no doubter, for the USC Trojans. And this is a guy took Oklahoma to 4 Big 12 titles, 3 college football playoff appearances, had a pair of Heisman Trophy winners, accumulated a 55-10 record in his 5 seasons. But what just a boss move. He's out here playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers with that comment. Could Riley lead the Trojans back to a national championship? Could Jackson Dart be the next Heisman Trophy winner for USC? Who knows? But what a great hire for USC. Next one here, Michigan upsets Ohio State. And Harbaugh finally gets his victory over the Buckeyes. You don't have that hanging over you anymore. +6.5. And if you cash that +200 money line, you are feeling pretty good. They also vaulted up the odds board to win the national championship Saturday at sportsbooks around the country. A team that was 100-1 preseason to win the national championship, all the way up to +850. Really, really cool stuff there. 50-1 just a week ago for the Wolverines. And last one here, Alabama barely overcoming Auburn in the Iron Bowl. You know, we all kind of secretly wanted that knockoff. But number three, Alabama completed a huge rally for the history books to knock off Auburn 24-22. Four overtime Saturday night. First Iron Bowl in history to continue past regulation. Started with the Crimson Tide trailing 10-0 until midway through the fourth quarter when things changed. So good for Alabama, I guess, even though it's a little bit annoying. Whatever. Let's talk about some better, more fun things with our guys, Jimmy Vaccaro, Vinny Mailulo over at the South Point, helping take us behind the counter. How's it going, fellas? I hope you had a good holiday week last week.
Good to be with you, Stormy. Still Thanksgiving time, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. It's the holiday season, and I want to dispel any rumors. No, I am not going to Oklahoma to take the Sooners job. Jimmy?
Stormy, I got the USC 7 over and under. What do you want to do with it for next football season?
Ooh, we'll see. I like where your head's at. I'll give you a little bit more input once I fully get the diagnosis of where they're going to be with their roster. Hey, but just speaking of Thanksgiving and the holidays, we talked about it last week that it's usually a pretty busy week for the books. How did things go for you for the Thanksgiving holiday week?
Couldn't ask for anything better. You know, it was never overwhelming, but it never, ever stopped from Thursday. We'll carry over until tonight's game also. When you look back and you see things, and what I can understand that like really puts it over the top is like me walking around and talking to people. There are so many new people who are starting to come and be a part of this also. And a lot of questions about Beeson that I get, which is an absolute monster for you guys and us guys. So we had a tremendous weekend. We had new customers. What else could you ask for, kid?
Yeah, I mean, it started in earnest on Wednesday night, right, yeah, Jimmy? And sure. Just kept going right through the weekend. Lots of buildup, pretty very steady, as Jimmy indicated, Stormy. And I tell you what added to it was having some marquee matchups in college basketball here in town. Yeah. I mean, Gonzaga played both UCLA mm-hmm. and Duke during the course of the weekend, too. So there were a lot of folks here for those games. But again, it's become such a very busy weekend, one of the busiest weekends of the year.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Before you asked me, young lady, Michigan was the monster win for us on Saturday. There were some what you would call people understand line movement, and they took the 7.5. But when we got mm-hmm. to 7, and it stayed there for about 2 hours, there wasn't a ticket on the underdog there. So we just really, really cleaned up with the Michigan game.
Yeah, I'm sure, because the history between those two teams, and then the way that Ohio State dogged Michigan State the way they did the week before, everybody's mm-hmm. on the Buckeyes. But good for Michigan and John Harbaugh finally getting that win. And Vinny, we talked mm-hmm. a lot last week too about how those rivalry week college football games yep. could rival some of the NFL games. So maybe aside from just Michigan, Ohio State, what were some of the other big ticket college football games?
Well, when you look at them, Stormy, certainly Bama and Auburn, which was a very heavily mm-hmm. bet game. The only thing that was disappointing was that the fact that the Michigan and Ohio State game was so early, but folks got a good jump on it because of the early start of the weekend. But Bama and Auburn, Oak State and Oklahoma was at that game, and surprisingly Kentucky and Louisville. But I think it would help those two games, especially the Louisville Kentucky game, Jimmy, was the fact that they were the 4:30 games.
Yeah, sure. The later the better. And you know, one more thing that I've been around this racket my whole life, but I just keep shaking my head when I see different things like this. They laid 35 with Georgia. They laid 36 with Georgia. They laid 37. They laid 39. I've never seen. Like, I've seen big favorites, but, like, I've never seen them being pushed four numbers. That's how much. And wait a minute. They got there easy.
They got there. Yeah.
You can't make the number big enough for some teams, right?
No.
A lot of those games, though, do have big college football playoff implications. So, Vinny, with your power ratings, what are your final top four going into it?
Right now, I've got Georgia and Bama. I mean, this is going to, you know, again, people understand this. This is in terms of power ratings. What the committee's going to do tomorrow, they're going to change some things up. But I've got two conferences at the top. I've got Georgia and Bama and Ohio State and Michigan. Close behind them, I've got Notre Dame and Oklahoma State. Then I've got Cincinnati in the mix there. So I don't have Cincinnati. And again, I'm not saying Cincinnati is not going to get there, Stormy. I'm talking about pure power ratings. The four I mentioned, Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, followed by Notre Dame and Oak State in my power ratings right now after the weekend.
Vinny, what do you think about Cincinnati? Do they have a shot?
Yes, because everybody's been downing them since September 1st, and all they do is go out and win. So I give them a lot of credit for, you know, doing what they have to do, and they deserve to be there. I hope that they get there. And quickly, young lady, you look at these Saturday games. What are some great matchups? And most of them are after 1 o'clock, which bodes well for the sports book. The later the games for these type of games, the better it is for us.
Rivalry week followed up by conference championship week. A lot of fun in college football. No doubt back-to-back weeks. Now, tonight in the NFL, Monday Night Football, Seattle and Washington. Because of the holiday and because of all the handle we've been talking about coming in with the holiday week, do we expect a little bit more action to be coming in still on the Monday night game?
No, not really. And here's the main reason for being, you know, in the South Point here. At least now some people are starting to go home in the afternoon. I mean, they've been beaten up for the last 4 days. And it's NFR, National Finals Rodeo, which is going on there. And there are so many Cowboys, you can't believe it. I thought I saw Roy Rogers.
In terms of this game tonight, Storm, we did open the Washington football team as 1-point favorites last week. Right before we came on, Jimmy and I, Chris Andrews, just moved the game. Seahawks are now 1-point favorites in this game here. So it looks like Seattle's going to get the balance of the action, or the majority of the action. But again, we've still got several hours for kickoff. But yeah. Still Monday Night Football, and there's plenty going to it. But as Jimmy said, it's kind of waned a little bit now as we head into the rodeo.
Well, yeah, it's about time you go home.
They have to go home sometimes, right? But fortunately, we get to be here all the time. So many teams, though, around the NFL, it feels like the playoffs are still just wide open at this point. What are our Super Bowl futures looking like right now in terms of liability as we get closer and closer?
We're in what we call a great spot because there's been so much money on everything because, as you said, young lady, like nobody knows who the hell is going to win this thing. There are half the teams are at 500 at best. There are teams that play well, then the next week they look crazy. So for our side, that's great. It creates all of this action. And then getting back to the only game that we lose on in the NCAA to win it all is Notre Dame. We lose like 90,000 on that game. But you know, other than that, futures have been great so far. Because Chris works his behind off.
When you've got this kind of unpredictability in the NFL, in particular, Stormy, it bodes well for the futures because it goes week to week, right? And folks have a premonition or a hunch on a particular team's performance, either it's on a weekly basis or every other week. The only team that there's some liability on is the Las Vegas Raiders, and of course they had a big win last week. But again. Nothing really detrimental in terms of futures right now.
Well, thank you guys so much. Great insight into what's going on behind the counter at the books, as always. We'll see you next week.
See you, Stormy. Take care.
That's Jimmy Vaccaro and Vinny Maiulo, my guys at the South Point. And you know what? I feel like I'm asking analysts every week, who's the best team in the AFC? Who's the best team in the NFC? Nobody knows. So wide open in the NFL. When we come back, it's Mondays with Michael. Michael Lombardi joins the program, and we do an update on Be Better. Was anybody better last week? We'll see. Stay with us, my guys in the desert on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now New York. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. Back here on My Guys in the Desert, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Time for Be Better. Did they or didn't they? I challenged three quarterbacks last week to step their game up, and it's kind of an overwhelming no, but one guy was at least a little better, so we'll give it to Matt Stafford despite the loss. Better, yes, good enough. Still no. Rams have three straight losses. The Titans, 49ers, and Green Bay, decent teams. But Stafford's made game-changing negative plays in each. Three losses, three games with a pick six thrown, five interceptions, and taken nine sacks in that time. Did put up three touchdowns, 302 yards this game, so it was better. But it had time to worry that Motor City Matthew was not the piece L.A. needed to get over the hump. We all know his win percentage against winning teams has been historically bad. We just thought it was because he was with the Lions. But we'll see. I have not given up all hope on Matt Stafford yet. Ryan Tannehill, better than the four picks we saw last week. You only had one this week. But we know this team has an injury problem. The one question, though, that's not easily answered is there also a Ryan Tannehill problem? He's thrown an NFL-high 13 interceptions, a total that includes 10 over the last 7 weeks, five in the last 2 weeks, like I said, four last week. So it was better this week. But only once in his nine-season career has he thrown more than 13 in a season, and that was back in 2013, his sophomore slump year. So let's see if the Titans can turn things back around and maybe get a little bit healthier here down the stretch. And last one, Baker Mayfield. I'm giving you a double no every week, this guy. All right, so it was a messy game, full of missed opportunities against the Ravens for the Browns. In three games since that 41-point outburst against the Bengals, the Browns have scored a grand total of 30 points. Mayfield had 247 yards and a touchdown, but completed less than 50% of his passes last night, missed a lot of throws wide, took two sacks. Mayfield has been playing injured for the last 2 months. We know that it's the shoulder, the foot, the groin, whatever it is. Wasn't completely healthy, but it showed. So what does that mean? Time to welcome in Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive, host of the Lombardi Line here on VSiN. And Michael, maybe you can help us out with this as we welcome you in. First off, just how are you?
I'm great, Stormy. Thank you. Hope you're doing well, too.
Good. Yes. I hope you had a good holiday and that the Baker Mayfield won't bring you down too much. I do know your opinions on him. He's not a $43 million man. Lately, he hasn't really been worth a leftover Thanksgiving turkey sandwich either. but is Kevin Stefanski right or wrong in continuing to start Baker Mayfield over Case Keenum, despite what we've seen from him lately?
You know, I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, he's got to keep playing him. He won a lot of games with him last year, but I think the reality of it is he can't make plays in the passing game. It's so obvious, you know, whenever they need to rely on a drop-back pass game, whenever they have to get into a drop-back pass game, they don't have it. I mean, they got a chance at 13-10 to get the ball, you know, and drive it down the field and take the lead on the Ravens, and they can't do it. They get stuck. And it goes back to the conference championship, the AFC divisional game, when they had a chance to take the lead with 6 minutes to go in the game. They couldn't get two first downs. And it's just as very challenging to watch this guy, because unless it's play action, unless he's doing it off the move, he can't. He has a hard time seeing, and he has a really hard time throwing the ball outside the numbers when it matters.
And the stats back that up, too, since that game against the Bengals. He's 44 of 87, so 50%, 496 yards, 5.7 yards per attempt, three touchdowns, three interceptions. That's not what you want. That's not good.
No, I mean, it shows up. It shows up in everything he does. And you know, the Browns, when they can't run the ball last night, Don Martindale put a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, and to force it to Mayfield to have to participate in the game. And, you know, and so he had to, you know, and he didn't do it. He didn't respond. And so I think that that's going to be a real issue.
Well, another team we talked about in that Be Better segment was the Rams and Matt Stafford. Do you believe, based on what you've seen these last three games, that as a team they've taken a step back? Or just in terms of the NFC West, seems like the 49ers are all of a sudden starting to turn their season around. Is that division up for grabs between those two at this point?
You know, look, the Rams, who have they beaten this year? They beat the Bucs in week three. I mean, who have they beaten besides the Bucs that's really a good team? I mean, they lost to Tennessee, and Tennessee had 190 yards of offense against them. I mean, Matthew Stafford hasn't played well. And the reality of it is, you know, I don't care what junk stats he gets from the beginning of that game yesterday to the end, they're just not there. Physically, they're not a dominant team. They can't really knock anybody off the ball. Green Bay was playing with a bunch of guys hurt. And they took control of that game from the first play on. And I just don't see it. I mean, what's the sense of paying Jalen Ramsey all that money if you're not going to put him on the best receiver for the Packers?
Mm-hmm. They are investing so much, right? It's Super Bowl or bust with everything that they've done this year, but we just haven't seen it. And yeah. I also, I'm sorry for phrasing that incorrectly. We all know the Cardinals are at the top of the division, but for that second spot, what do you think about San Francisco as of late? What's kind of flipped the switch for them these last couple weeks?
I mean, Jimmy G has been playing really well. I mean, nobody wants to admit it, but Jimmy G's been playing really well. I know everybody thinks Trey Lance should be the starting quarterback, but Garoppolo has played really well. He's made a lot of throws. Samuel's been really productive. They've got their team back. And, you know, they're able to get in front, play with the lead. They're running the football like Kyle likes to do. And Garoppolo's making throws that he needs to make. I mean, it's not rocket science. He's playing good. He's been playing good all year.
Deebo Samuel, of course, is expected to miss a little bit of time with a groin injury. But what a bright spot he has been. Like, feed the ball to 19, because every time he has it in his hand, something good happens. It's been really fun to watch Deebo, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it really has. I mean, you know, he's been remarkable. I mean, he's hard to tackle. He goes across the middle. He takes a bunch of hits, you know, and the yards after the catch that he gets is fabulous. And then just his stack in the backfield, it gives them that outside runner that's really tough to contain. I mean, he did a tremendous job yesterday.
With the news coming out earlier today that Christian McCaffrey is going to be done for the year, what kind of impact does that have on this Carolina Panthers team? I know they've played without him more often than they've played with him these last couple of years, but he's so impactful when he is available. Like, how tough is that for this team?
It's hard. They've built everything around him. I mean, their passing game is built on him. Their run game is built on him. Everything they do, he's one of the highest paid players in the league. And, you know, the fact that he misses games is really challenging, and that it's really hard because, let's face it, I mean, durability is part of ability. And for the last two seasons, McCaffrey, who after he got paid, hasn't been able to stay healthy on the field. That's really hurts. It hurts their offense.
Yeah, that's what they say. The best ability is availability, right? That's like the old phrase. And
no doubt. I mean, you got to be ready to play. I mean, you know, it's like you can't miss games. I mean, they're counting on them. They've built everything around them. I understand guys get hurt, but it's just further evidence. It's tough to pay a running back, especially an undersized one.
Well, let's talk a little Monday Night Football tonight. Seattle laying a point on the road in Washington. So, all right, I need your opinion. Is Russ going to cook a filet mignon type of performance for his birthday, or is it going back to Waffle House type cooking for Wilson tonight?
You know, this is a game, Stormy, I really think that bettors should take a look and use their app and do some in-game betting, because it's going to be very cold. It's cold back here on the East Coast, mm-hmm. and I don't know how that finger is going to respond to the cold. Is it going to feel like he has touch on the ball? I'd watch the first quarter and really gauge whether Russ is cooking at the diner or if he's cooking at the restaurant. You know, it's really going to come down to that. And go from there.
Yeah.
And really look at it because I think if you play either side in this game, you're guessing. Is Washington going to be as consistent as they've been the last couple of weeks? Hard to predict. You know, is Seattle going to come out of their funk? Hard to predict. Is Russell going to play better? Is he going to play like he did in week one, two? Maybe. I don't know. It's hard. I think I want to watch this game before I engage and, okay, here. But if Russ looks like he's got good velocity, he's got accuracy on the ball, you could tell the first series of the Green Bay game, when he came back, he wasn't ready.
That's a good call. So everybody listen up. Get ready for the live lines in this one. Maybe pre-flop isn't the way to go. What about in terms of the total? Is that intriguing to you at all at 47, 47.5? Or is that something you want to stay away from too?
I said on my show I would lean towards the under, and only because I think that both teams, I know Seattle wants to slow the game down, and both teams run the football effectively. So I think the under could be in play. I think this is a 23-20 type game.
All right. Good stuff as always, Michael. Really appreciate the time with you. Mondays with Michael are a good staple. I like this. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Stormy. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
That's Michael Lombardi, host of the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, former NFL executive as well. And it will be an interesting one to see what happens in this Washington-Seattle game, specifically with regards to Russell Wilson. Only a couple games back now from that injury. The offense has not clicked in his games since he's returned. But will they tonight in the cold? He might be getting his reps back, but how will that finger react? So keep an eye on it. And I liked that play about talking about getting in on the in-game. When we come back here on the program, we're going to continue the Monday Night Football talk, but take a deeper dive into some of the individual player prop opportunities. EP of gaming at Bally Sports, Brad Evans, is going to join the program, host of the Fade the Noise podcast. So do you fade him or do you follow him? We will see on the other side. I know there are a couple already, though, looking at him, his picks that I agree with. Will you? We shall see. Also, doing the most. We'll check out the quarterback situation in this matchup.
Listening to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping things up here on My Guys in the Desert, live from our VSIN studio at Circus Sportsbook in Las Vegas. Monday Night Football around the corner, Seattle and Washington. And we're going to take a little look at the quarterback comparison in terms of their prop bets real quick. Doing the most. Which quarterback will hit the over on some of their numbers? Let's throw it up on the screen and take a look, because literally, between Russell Wilson and Taylor Heineke, it appears that some of these numbers are almost identical, which is interesting because usually, you know, one of these things is not like the other. Russell Wilson typically should be the far superior quarterback, but with his injury, the team having a little bit of a turnaround, not so much. Russell, 246.5 pass yards. Heineke, 243.5. Russ has actually gone under most of those numbers on his screen last two games since he's been back. Hasn't gone over 246 pass yards since September 26th. I like the longest completion here, maybe, for Russ at least. I think that's entirely possible. Heineke, meanwhile, the only one I really like for him going over would probably, no, pass attempts and completions. If you're feeling frisky, he's gone over those numbers four of the last five games. Also like him rushing. And, you know, I think my guy Brad Evans, who we're going to bring in right now, EP of gaming at Bally Sports, also host of the Fade the Noise podcast, always fun. Welcome in. I have a weird feeling. Okay, it's not a weird feeling. I looked at your spreadsheet like I do every week, like a psychopath. But you seem to be on board with Taylor Heineke rush yards as well. You think he can use a little bit of that mobility in this game?
Oh, he's going to be scrambling, mad dashing, hopefully to all the monies. We're going to make that Lincoln Riley cash tonight, Stormy. I can feel it right now. Look, Taylor Heineke is an opportunistic runner, and the product from Old Dome, you know, against this defense, which is number eight in pressure rate across the entirety of the NFL, he's going to have flush opportunities where he'll get out in the open field and use those legs to scramble. So, look, he's been over this 18.5 rush yards line five times this season. A handful of guys have gone over this as well, you know, on the year, including Jameis Winston, along with Trey Lance, Ryan Tannehill, among others. And also, if you want to correlate, synergize, bring it all together, Stormy, I like Taylor Heineke to go over on his longest rush yards prop as well, which is sitting at 10.5. So just on one dash, we can maybe get more than halfway there.
So
he's the great Bon Jovi.
He's going to show us some Tom Brady wheels potentially getting over that 10 yards.
Is he going to be high stepping into the open field like 44-year-old Tom Terrific? That's like me running to the liquor store for more tequila.
I love it. Taylor Heineke, more like Taylor Heineken. Is that what you'll be sipping on during Monday Night Football tonight? Is that good?
Yeah, and he won't taste skunky either.
Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all. But no, that'll definitely be one to keep an eye on. He does have a little bit of moves, I think, when it comes to the run game. Anything else you really like when it comes to Washington offensively tonight?
Everything J.D. McKissick. I mean, Seattle is just allergic to covering the short field against pass-catching running backs. They've given up seven receptions per game, over 70 yards per game, just to running backs through the air. And J.D. McKissick is a guy that's averaging right around 19 routes run per game. He's been a little bit up and down in this category, but the over on 3.5 receptions, I think, will come through with relative ease. It's gotten juiced up a little bit right now, DraftKings at -130, but I'm still willing to pay up because I think this could be a 5 or 6 catch game for J.D. McKissick. And then elsewhere, Antonio Gibson just kind of following that same logic. I got the number 9.5 receiving yards. It's up to 11.5. Still feel good that he's going to get the over. I know he was catchless the last time out. But throughout the year, you look at his game log, he's usually good for 2 receptions. And again, against this soft underbelly that Seattle features defensively. One catch, he can maybe get a 12-yard gain, and that's winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, I would like that, especially because he is on my fantasy team. I need a little bit more numbers from this guy. So if I can take him in the pass game as well, I certainly will. I do want to get some of your thoughts on these Seattle props, maybe on that side. But first, just what's your general feel for the way this game is going to go tonight? Did you get in on the side or the total, or are you just sticking to the props tonight?
I usually stick to the props. You know, I think this game is priced right. Honestly, I have it at 24-23 Washington. So if you want to get the action on the money line, -105, get a little reduction in the juice and stay away from the spread at the +1, that'll be the direction I lean. And that's a straight up push right now at 47, unless old Captain Hook Yar is coming to play. But last checked, I think the odds makers have got this spot on, unlike the player props market, which there are a lot of soft lines weekly that you can unearth.
You love that. And that's what's so great about prop betting is, hey, maybe people aren't paying as close of attention to some of these numbers. What opportunity can we take advantage of? So let's take a look at that with some of these ones for Seattle, specifically the quarterback. Like we were just running through those numbers with Russell Wilson with his injury. Michael Lombardi was on the program just a little bit ago talking about, hey, we're not sure how that finger might react in the cold weather tonight, potentially. What are you looking at with Russell Wilson? Because I think there could be some potential for some unders here with him.
Yeah, one in particular that stands out to me is the under on 21.5 completions for Russell Wilson. Even when he didn't have the injured digits, he was comfortably under this number throughout the season. He's been under it in 5 of 7 games. He's been under it in 4 consecutive contests. Now, Washington is lousy against the pass. That much we do know, giving up 280 yards per game and a 68.1 completion percentage to opposing signal callers. But again, as you guys mentioned, you know, the gripping issues in the chilly weather, it could be some balls of belly to Alex Collins, DJ Dallas, to alleviate some of the pressure on Russell Wilson to deliver down the field. I know he's a birthday boy tonight. He's certainly going to be motivated in that capacity, but 21.5 completions, a little too rich for me. I think he's right around 19 or 20 in this game.
Yeah, you don't want to be a loser on your birthday because then you go to get the ice cream after the game. Nobody's giving you sprinkles. Nobody's calling you special.
No, it really isn't. And ice cream cake for the win, by the way, Stormy.
Ooh, okay. What's the go-to ice cream cake flavor? I need to know. I'm a sugar connoisseur.
Well, you know, cookies and cream. You could go a little chocolate chip. I know a lot of people have a disdain for the mint chocolate chip, but I'm a fan. I like it.
I would argue it is the best one. Mint chocolate chip is actually my it's the odds-on favorite in the Bonatoni household. Let's continue rolling here with Seattle Seahawks. So one, I was looking at your odd sheet, which, by the way, everybody, if you go check out Brad Evans' Twitter at Noisy Huevos, you can get all of these prop betting opportunities for free. He lists them all out for you every single week. Tyler Lockett, longest reception over 22.5 yards. I bet this already. I love it. He is that downfield threat when you need one.
Yeah, look, this is a sledgehammer wager for me. I'll break it out right now. The old Peter Gabriel. I love this wager. He's done this a dozen times this season. As I mentioned, Washington overly generous in this giving season, Stormy, when it comes to the pass. They've given up 29 pass plays at 20 or more yards. And, you know, Tyler Lockett is a guy that Russell Wilson loves taking deep shots with. Entering the week, he was number 10 in total deep targets, number 9 in yards per route run. I know there's going to be a streak route or 3 down the field where Russell Wilson's just going to chuck it up and hope that Tyler Lockett gets under it. Normally he does. So I think he's making a big play against William Jackson III in this game, and this could be an early cash for us because I think Russell wants to come out firing and dealing to boost the confidence of the Seattle Seahawks club, which right now, not out of the hunt, because I think nobody is out of the hunt unless you're Detroit in the NFC, as lousy as that conference has been this season for the playoff race.
Brutal. The Lions kill me. Every week you think that, hey, maybe this is going to be the week. It's not. It's not. Just stay away.
It never is.
Gerald Everett, you had it at over 26.5 receiving yards. Yep. Now I see it at around 30.5. Do you still think that that's worth a play for people if they're getting in on it late?
Yeah, 30.5, I would still get in on it. I go up as high as 31.5. But yeah, I mean, the value has gotten kind of sucked out of this line a little bit. But Gerald Everett is still going to be a point of emphasis underneath. And look at the Washington deflated footballs. Again, against the pass, It's been an area that has been extremely problematic for them, especially covering the middle of the field against tight ends, in which you're giving up 5.1 receptions and 58.9 receiving yards per game just to the tight end position. 11-plus size targets, Stormy, have gone over the 26.5 line, and I believe it's 8 that have exceeded 30.5 against this Fighting Footballs team this year. So Gerald Everett, who's been a centerpiece of this offensive game plan the last several games, I believe he'll go over this for the 5th time in his last 7 contests.
Brad, you haven't said Fighting Footballs nearly enough for me in this segment. What's going on?
Because my mind is on the Fighting Illini tonight. I'm a huge fan. I'm not going to the game against Notre Dame because everybody's sick or hurt for Illinois. So hopefully you got Notre Dame before the line tumbled. I think it sounded like Notre Dame's catching 3 against Illinois. It opened at 6.5, and that's where I hammered it. I think this game is going to be a coin flip for Illinois tonight in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Well, enjoy the sweat. Good luck with your bets. Hopefully some folks listening can make some money along with you. And thanks again for doing this. Appreciate the time, Brad.
Amen. Let's make some moolah.
Let's
and make it rain like Lincoln Riley.
Make
Lincoln, I'm available. Hire me now.
All I've ever wanted to do was make it rain like Lincoln Riley. Gosh, still, what a home run hire for USC. Cannot get enough of it. Just to recap some of those picks from Brad. Russell Wilson under his completions prop. Tyler Lockett, longest reception. Gerald Everett, over 26.5 receiving yards. Taylor Heinicke, over for rush yards, over for longest rush yard. J.D. McKissick and Antonio Gibson, over their receptions as well. That's going to do it for my guys in the desert. Rush Hour coming up next. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.